You for this time that we have together right now. Thank you for your holy presence. Hallelujah. We thank you. And Father God, now I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have open ears to hear your word and an open heart to receive your word, their life being changed because of the living word of God. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. Thank you, Father God, for the honor of ministering your word here this evening. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen.
Amen.
Come on, shout it again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory be to God. I want you to go ahead once again and turn to the book of Hebrews. The fifth chapter, Hebrews the fifth chapter. And we've been ministering on the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Every believer needs a solid foundation to stand on. Are you hearing me? Every believer needs a solid foundation to stand on. See, that's the reason. See, that's the reason that's important to be in church. Where the uncompromised word of God is being preached. You still with me?
Yeah.
Where you have a pastor that is not a man pleaser, but a heart towards God.
Yeah.
A heart towards God. Spiritual ears, as it were, open to God, to hear from God. Not because they are, let me say it this way, they're not man pleasers because they don't like man, they have something against man. No, they're not man pleasers because they love God and they love man. And I'll make this statement. A pastor is not much of a pastor if they don't love their flock. Can I say that one more time? A pastor is not much of a pastor if he or she do not love their flock. Then you have to do some self-examination and ask, why are you pastoring? What's your motive? Is it for the money? Is it for the attention? Or is it for some other reason? We pastor because we're called, and we're called to love the sheep, just like the chief shepherd himself loves the sheep. He loves his sheep. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when I say being in church, you need to be in church so that you can hear the uncompromised word of God, so that you can have a firm foundation to stand on. Because the Bible clearly tells us, it tells us very clearly, very plain, that we're going to be tried. Our faith is going to be tried. We're going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. Amen. The winds of doubt and unbelief will blow on your house. The winds of trials will blow on your house. But we have to ask ourselves, is my house built on a solid foundation? Now, it never ceases to amaze me. Are you ready for this one? How many people that I have known over the years that I thought was on a solid foundation, but come to find out they weren't. Or they were on a solid foundation at one time, but they did not maintain. Amen. And so for this reason, you know, I am teaching this tonight, and I'm not sure how long it's going to take me to finish it, but I'm not going to rush through it. And a lot of what I'm teaching, you already know. Some of you watching already know. But here's the thing. There's a lot of folks that don't. There's a lot of believers that do not. You can ask some folks that even attend church, who is Jesus really? Who is Jesus? You get many different responses. When there should be a biblical response to the question. All righty. So you should have Hebrews chapter 5 by now. And I want to back up once again to verse 12, and we'll just read back through it like we did the last time. But verse 12 says, and I'm reading from my New King James Bible, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." You ever wonder why the Bible says, why the Bible forbids a novice to pastor a church? Novice being someone who is spiritually immature, not grounded in the things of God. And it goes on to tell us that they're apt to fall. They're apt to stumble. Satan will certainly take advantage of them. Amen. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Now, I covered this last week, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. Verse 14, "But solid food belong to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Let's go on into chapter 6. And by the way, the writer here is still on the same subject. Just because it says chapter 6 doesn't mean that he's going in to something else. You have to understand that man put chapters, divided the Bible up in chapters and verses and so forth, and that's good because it helps us find places in the Bible. It makes it easier on us, right? Amen. But you have to understand that the writer here is still on the same subject. Therefore, you see that? Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on into perfection, or let us go on into maturity. In other words, there should come a time when we have this solid foundation laid, okay? This foundation is laid and you can't move it. Now, let's go ahead and build on that foundation. Let's mature. Amen. Let's grow up in the things of God. Hallelujah. So therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Amen. I want you to notice something there in verse 3. Read it out loud. Read it again. There's a reason that's written that way. He said you ought to be teachers. He was telling the folks, you ought to be teachers by now because, I mean, you've been saved a while, you've been hearing the word of God, but like James said, you know, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because you can hear the word of God, but if you don't do the word of God, you're not going to mature in the things of God. Are you still here? Amen. We're not going to mature if we don't do what he says. So he said we're going to move on forward if God permits. Why would it be worded that way? Because the Holy Spirit might say, hold on, they're not ready. So let's go back over the first principles or the foundation and teach them again so that they can get it. Or there may be some in the congregation that is not as spiritually mature as others, hadn't been walking with the Lord as long as others, they need this same foundation. Amen. So he said, we'll move on if the Holy Spirit permits. If he permits, we'll move on. Hallelujah. Well, what I want to deal with tonight is the first principle. Hallelujah. Now the first thing mentioned here, and I think we covered this some last week also, the first thing mentioned here is repentance from dead works. It's amazing to me how many believers, some of them been in church and so forth, walking with the Lord for a lot of years, but they're still practicing dead works. What they're involved in has no life in it. It's dead. We still have people that think that I can get to heaven because of my works. And that's not what the Bible teaches. And we talked about last week how that we can get caught up in our traditions. human nature rules. You know, we still have folk in churches. I'm talking about saved folks, spirit-filled folks. We still have folks in churches that does not have a designated seat. Now, we understand because of what they're involved in or their position in the church, some people have to have designated seats. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have me one right over there. That's my designated seat. And of course, you folks that come here, you know, you don't sit in that seat because that's my designated seat. And it's not because I feel like I'm all that. It just makes it easy for me to get from there to the platform. All right. So there is a place for designated seats. Our singers usually sit over here. It makes it easier for them to go through the door or to come up the steps here to the platform rather than having to walk all the way from that corner of the church. But I'm here to tell you that unless you have a designated seat or a designated section for a particular reason, you're free to sit anywhere you want to. Right? You're free to sit anywhere you want to in this sanctuary. Amen. Now, we do limit the balcony sometimes for obvious reasons. But here's my point. We have some folks that, man, they don't have a designated seat. But man, if you sit in their seat, it's on. You hear me? It's on. You know I sit here all the time. But you hadn't been assigned this seat. That don't matter. This is my seat. This is where I sit all the time. Well, your name is not on. That don't matter. This is my seat. Pastor, make them get out of my seat. And Pastor, if you don't make them get out of my seat, I ain't ever coming back here again. Now, we laugh, and it is kind of funny, but on the other hand, it's sad. Me, I'm just thankful to have somewhere to sit. I go to other churches, some of the ministers and pastors sit in the pulpit, and that's good and fine. I have no problem with that. But you know, I'm not a pastor that get offended if they don't invite me up there. If I go to a church and they don't invite me in the pulpit, I'm good. Why am I good? Because I know who I am. And that doesn't mean I'm less of a pastor or less of a preacher because I'm not sitting up here. And I understand. And in many, many, many places I go that they know me and they have a pulpit section and they invite me to come up. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, you know. I just let them thank you very much. I'm honored, but, you know, I'm going to sit here with my wife or whatever, you know. Y'all still with me? See, I'm not going to get caught up into that stuff because that can become dead works and non-productive. There's no life there. Now, don't leave here saying I said that preachers shouldn't sit in the pulpits. I didn't say that. Can I get amen on that?
Amen.
I did not say that, right?
Amen.
Amen. I'm just talking about how people can get so caught up on one thing that they totally forget God and what God wants to do in their life. I try to be careful about naming names, or like, for example, birthdays or something like that, because sometimes if you forget one, oh, Lord Jesus, I can't believe he forgot my birthday. Now, he told Sister Sue and Sister Jane and Brother Joe and all them, he named them out for that, but didn't call my name. And then the devil whispered in the ear, you know he don't like you anyway. It's time to move away from that. Let's go forward in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, it's time for us to know who we are. You can go to your dog and tell him he's a cat. And ask him, do you believe me? Roof. No. I told you you were a cat. You got it? Roof. Why? He knows he's a dog. He know who he is. We need to know who we are. Tell you one thing, makes life much easier. Man, you're not taking inventory of who did you wrong and who didn't. Well, I believe I move on. See what the end gonna be. We'll get off that subject. Hallelujah. But now let's read verse 1 of chapter 6 again. It said, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. And look at the second one, faith towards God. Faith towards God. There are people in the body of Christ that if you mention faith, they get upset. Well, let's take a look at it. Turn to the book of Romans, the very first chapter, Romans chapter 1. See, this is part of our foundation, folks. You hear me? Amen. This is what we build on. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 16. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Look at verse 17. For in it, in what? The gospel of Christ. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Finish that verse. Say it again. Say it again. One more time, loud. The just shall live by faith. We must live by faith. That should be part of our foundation. The life we live is a life of faith. It is a faith life. Hallelujah. Now, listen at this. Hold on just a moment. I'm about to get ahead of myself. Go to the book of Ephesians, second chapter. The just shall live by faith. Now go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, what Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, remember we just read in Romans 1, the just shall live by faith. Now, Ephesians, the second chapter, tells us that we are saved by faith, right? Look at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved. How? Huh? Through faith, not works. See, as a child, I was taught, and not so much by my parents, but by others in some churches, is that the only way you're going to get to heaven, boy, is you better do what's right all the time. Left me with the impression that I had to work my way to heaven. And I tried and I failed. And I kept falling. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now you may say, Pastor, I've been knowing that for years and years and years. But do you know something else? There's some folks still don't know it. They still don't know it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Listen to this. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's by faith. It's a gift of God. Not by any works that we did. So we need to stop boasting. Now I love verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what? For what? See, you have to know where works fit in. Works has nothing to do with you being born again. That's by faith. You receive Jesus by faith. You believe on him. And none of us can boast and say, I got myself saved. I did this and I did that and I did that and now I'm worthy to go to heaven. None of us can say that. Not any of us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, guys upstairs, give me verse 10. I think it's the New Living Translation, if I'm not mistaken. Give me verse 10. New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. Somebody say amen. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God, and you hear me say this all the time. God has a plan for every person he created. But we cannot carry out that plan until we are born again. We don't want to get the cart before the horse, so to speak. When we get born again, then we put ourselves in a position to carry out the plan of God for our lives. And according to the Word of God, we are the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is made up of different limbs. The body has feet, toes, feet, legs, knees, thighs, and just arms. And the body is supposed to work together. That's the reason it's important that we learn how God has gifted us and the calling that he have on our lives, and not looking at someone else to determine what we think God is calling us to be. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be your best, if you want to be, if I can say it this way, if I can term it this way, if you want to be at the top of your game, find out what God wants you to do. Amen. Learn how God has gifted you. Well, you know what? I want to be a preacher. Well, is that what God calling you to do? Is he calling you to be a pastor, or is he calling you to be in the fivefold ministry? I had a fella tell me one time, he told me to my face, he said, "Man, I tell you what, I think I'm going to start pastoring because, that's the way I can get me some money." See, you're thinking about the offerings. No. Wrong. I said wrong. I'm so glad the word says that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm glad it did not say my God shall supply all the needs of the pastors only. Or someone else only. We all have access to his goodness. We all have access to his blessings. Hallelujah. I want to read this again. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Well, Pastor, I don't know what God wants me to do. Can I help you with something? You may be watching, and that's what you're thinking, or someone in here may be thinking that. And this is not an easy thing for some folks. For some folks it is. If you don't know what God wants you to do or what his ultimate call on your life may be, do what your hands find to do for the glory of God. Because you have to understand, the Bible plainly says, he that is faithful in what? Little things will what? We rule over much. Because folks don't understand something. They scratching, too many people scratching to get to the top, to get this or get this position, to get that position. They don't understand that God is watching them in the little things. God is watching them in the little things. The little things. See, that's where we have to learn to be faithful in the little things. Hallelujah. If I can use this as an analogy, we must be willing to wash the feet of a homeless person. If it brings glory to God, if it blesses that person. And that's where we have to be careful in the ministry itself. Everybody's trying to go up the ladder, but what are you leaving behind? Are you leaving a legacy behind you, or are you leaving a mess? Are you trying to step on someone else to get higher? Come on, y'all, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Am I telling the truth or not? See, we got to think the way God thinks. We got to look at into the Word of God. God is, can I tell y'all something? God is not any more impressed with me standing here before you, ministering to you the Word of God, than he is whoever's sitting on the last seat. What God is interested in, thank you, faithfulness. Faithfulness where you are. Oh, that's a hard lesson for some folk to learn. Because it's been instilled in too many people. You gotta fight, you gotta fight, you gotta fight. Fight. No, you don't have to fight. Serve and be faithful. Amen. Everybody say, serve and be faithful. And be faithful. Can I tell y'all something else? I would much rather be down here with the anointing of God on my life. Oh, glory to God. Than to be up here with nothing. I want the anointing of God on my life. Whatever it is that I'm doing for his glory, I want his anointing on my life. I'm not here to impress. I'm here to serve. You hear me? I'm serious, folks. I would rather be pushing a broom in my church with the anointing of God on it than to be standing up here hollering at y'all with nothing. Pushing my broom under the anointing, trying to preach in my own strength. Ooh, where'd all that come from? Somebody tell me. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So anyway, God's called us to do good works. Now, works don't get us to heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ does that. Believing in the Son of God does that. But as believers, there's still a job for us to do while we're in the earth. And we need to understand that. There's a lot of folks don't understand it. We try some time to do ministry the way a businessman conducts his or her business. And there's a business side to the church. Some of us try to conduct our spiritual lives the same way that you would do in the natural world. But you have to understand that the Word of God tells us to come out from among them and be separate. Let's walk with God. The world says fight and scratch and talk about one another and cut each other down. The Word of God says love one another, whether they love you or not. The Word of God says do good to them, whether they do good to you or not. See, these are the works that God loves. Hallelujah. And like I said earlier, at the very beginning, the just shall live by faith. That's in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. The just shall live by faith, but this faith has to come by hearing. Romans 10, 17. This faith has to come by hearing. And I get back to what I said earlier. That's the reason it's important to be in church. Now, you do have your own personal study time. I hope you do. Amen. You do have your time that you spend with the Lord, right? You do have your time that you spend in the Word of God, right? Amen. Amen. But there's also a time when you need to sit and hear. Sit and hear. I said sit and hear. And don't take on the attitude, I know it all. Nobody can tell me nothing. When you get that attitude, you shut God out. And you open yourself up to lies and deception. Hallelujah. So faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, my goodness. I get up here, folks, and seem like time just go, just fly. But Hebrews chapter 4, and we don't want to be like this. Look at verse 2. He says, for indeed the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who what? Heard it. Amen. When you hear the word of God, you got to receive the word of God. You got to believe the word of God. And understand this. Every day of your life should be a day of faith. 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Do you know when you wake up in the morning, whatever time it is that you wake up and get out of bed, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. Whatever time you get up, you know what? You get up in faith, because naturally, unless God reveals something to you, you don't know what's going to happen that day. But you have the comfort of knowing that I'm walking with Him and He's walking with me, and I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. I said, I'm going to be all right. I'll tell you one thing. If you watch the news all the time, it'll drive you crazy. Y'all listening to me? The news would drive you batty. Oh, Lord, look what's happening now. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do or should do. Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk in the Word of God. I don't know, there's a song, I don't know, I may have it wrong, guys. Some of you folks may know it. If I'm wrong, correct me, please. But I believe it was a song that was written years ago and sang by Dallas Holm, said that he's brought me too far to let me drown. Is that, am I right on that? I know that, I know that's a song. I may be wrong on who sang it, but anybody remember it? You know, I may be off base on the song, but there's a song, and I used to listen to it in my car when I was working for the county. I'd be driving my little 66 Falcon. That was a neat little car. But I had my little 66 Falcon, and I had me a little 8-track. Anybody know what an 8-track is? They put me an 8-track in that thing, and I would listen to faith building songs while I was going riding throughout Chesterfield County. I was filling myself, building my faith the whole time, and I'm here to tell you, God's brought you this far. Is anybody listening to me? God's brought you this far. He's not about to forsake you and let you drown. Are you listening to me? I say, God's brought you this far. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to let you drown. He's not going to let you blow bubbles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want to close with this little statement here. We have to understand that we are spiritual beings, aren't we? With a natural body, we live in a natural body. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are spiritual beings that live in a natural body, in a natural world. That's the reason we must walk by faith. We're spiritual beings with a natural body. The Bible says our bodies come from the dust, right? And when we no longer need it and we're out of it, guess where it goes back to? To the dust. We're a natural body. Excuse me, we're a spiritual person. Living in a natural body, in a natural world. But because we are spiritual people, we must walk and live by faith. What do you mean by that? Faith is the evidence of things not seen, right? You still with me? There's so much out here we don't see, but we keep on moving because we're walking by faith. We're walking by faith. We're walking with God. What's that song you sing, Lisa? All my life, he's been faithful. Stand up and talk it out. Don't sing it. Can you talk it out? You remember the words? Just the beginning. Just the beginning. I want the folks here. This is a song that Cece Winans sings. Beautiful song. Beautiful. I just want you... She sang it sometime, but I just want you to hear the words. Listen.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my life, I've been healed in your hand. From the moment that I wake up to the moment till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because all my life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing
of the goodness of God.
It's hard to remember. I want to sing it so bad.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Ms. Winans. If you happen to be run across us over here, that's an anointed song. We're so blessed. Hallelujah. All my life, he's been faithful. And all of us have gone through some rough things. We've gone through some dark places. Sometimes we couldn't even see the light. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment as we close. Just give him praise right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus.